Good morning.
Hello.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to defer all my questions to Warren.
So that means
you didn't know that? Didn't tell you that?
You know, I'm just going to talk about Pootie Tang, so you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You don't.
There was this cowboy rumor that you two started dating on this movie. I'm kidding. I'm
wrong person.
That's all I want to do is talk about the rumor. I just want to talk about the sensationalist aspects of Over the Hedge. Don't you, Warren?
Me too.
That's not the making of it.
If I could just ask, one of the things I think that is really obvious about animating films is they can be risky. They can say the things about us as humans that maybe other movies with humans don't say. They push the envelope, they go out there, they criticize us and they're critical of us, and we're able to sit there and allow that movie to poke fun of our culture. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree. I think it's fun to... I like going to films that make fun of culture, especially, you know, American culture and how seriously we all take ourselves. And I laugh at things like that, and I go see other films like that that I feel a little bit better about myself when I can laugh at how seriously we all take ourselves and seriously how we all take what we do.
In this movie, what would you say poke fun at your own fallacy the most as a human being?
Well, I just asked this and I was told that this is that I was, and they said yes, it is a caper. It's kind of a caper film, mm-hmm. And I've done a lot of serious caper films or where we try to be serious, and for me, it's fun to take. In an animated way, which is we should probably talk about, because it's a very different process of performance. But it's fun to make fun of some of the films that I've done and some of the characters that I've played and been asked to play. And our only job was to make people laugh, just try and make you laugh.
I was thinking about the other films that you've made.
I was just saying, like, as far as like making fun of. I think, like, personally, probably, like, especially playing the skunk, because I'm very gassy in the morning. So I was able to relate to that. I was like, you know, there really is fire in the hole. And when I thought about it, I was like, are they poking fun at me? I walked away with that.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome.
I didn't hear you referring to your other film. I've noticed immediately how different you were voicing RJ from the way you voiced the baby in The Talking 2 and the way you voiced the dog in The Rat. Mm-hmm. How conscious are you? Do you go back to those films, rewatch them, listen, and deliberately do something different? Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I didn't think about those other two films, and I hadn't really thought about it until you just mentioned that I actually did those films. This is a very different. Maybe I do too much, too many films. But this was different. And to be honest with you, I think this was more, if I had to reference any character that I've ever done, this is more, there's more David Addison in this character than there is any other character. And because a lot of this was experimental, a lot of this was a lot of improvisation because you work by yourselves. You work by yourself, mm-hmm. I work by myself, and you're in this booth, and there's this five or six guys in this dark room back there, and they just said, and there's a template of the script. I mean, there's a, you know, a script, obviously, but a lot of it was improv, and I'm sure a lot of the stuff you did, right? I mean, did you improv a lot of stuff?
And, I did.
You know, make up a lot of stuff, and and a few sessions in, I started to, I don't know, channel... I just tapped into some of that old stuff, you know, that kind of wisecracking stuff. And they all came to me after they heard it, and they said, that's what we want you to do.
So because
we want you to go after.
Because it's improvisation, do you find it easier to do this as opposed to doing the action films?
No, this was a really hard process. I wish I could tell you that it was a party and a fun thing to do, but it was hard. Because it's like you're in an isolation tank. You're... All of the tools. There's no props. Mm-hmm. There's no other actors there to even, you know, play off of. You're just doing your lines. You have no idea how. I had no idea how Wanda was going to respond to the things that I said. How Gary was going to respond. What their characters were going to do. And when I saw the first rough cut of the film, I went, this is hilarious. This is real. Have you guys seen the film?
Yeah, it is.
Do you think it's funny?
Yeah, it's very, very funny.
There are jokes in there for adults.
It is.
Jokes in there for kids.
Yeah.
So if you have kids, and you, which I do, and I'm going to take my kids, there are jokes in there for them.
I'm going to kidnap some kids. But the movie's that good. It's that good.
And you can't buy that kind of crap. I think she was serious.
Because you know, this does rip that.
No, I've already asked.
You guys actually prepare for these things?
Absolutely. Okay. But you know, I just want to comment on something that Bruce said about it is a difficult process. I found it, you know, and I've said this before, this is like the first time that I've ever had to really act. Really, I mean, you know, because it's like you're stripped of everything. It's like all the things that you rely on, like playing off of someone else, and you know, just facial expressions, all those things. You know, you have to leave them at the door, basically. You know, they take all your weapons, and then you're just standing there naked.
Yeah. And they had a little camera on us the whole time, so when I saw the film, I sometimes, you know, you're trying to laugh and you're trying to make your little audience of five people in the control booth laugh, and you know, you get into it and you start doing stuff, and I found myself doing little facial things or little physical things, and then when I saw the film, I said I did that when I was saying that line, and so they were stealing the stuff that we were doing and using it to animate the character with, and which is a good thing, and thank God it was funny, because there's nothing worse than seeing someone trying to be funny when they're not, and you just feel sorry for them. You just go,
how long is the whole process of doing a movie like this?
I was asked to do this 3 years ago, two and a half years ago, and I think, I don't know, I think I was in the room probably 16 or 17 times over the course of, because they had to come where I was shooting the film sometimes, and to where I was. But I want to go back to the fact that it really is, it's a hard thing. It's hard anyway when you have actors and you have props and you have a great script. It's hard to make people laugh. It's the most, it's the biggest challenge that there is. It's hard to be funny, and to do it with no tools and do it on your own, and where you're relying on just those five guys in the, you know, in the booth, and if they laugh or if they don't, they'll come back next time and say, we want to rework this section of the film. It's rewarding to see it than to hear an audience of kids laughing and to hear adults laughing at the same time.
I was reading in the production notes that they've actually brought the animals in. Could you both talk a little bit about, they said they brought in raccoons and things.
They brought a live raccoon, and I don't know if you can see the scars over here. Went right for the neck. No, I'm kidding. It had to.
I didn't know they didn't bring in a skunk. No. I would have looked at them like they were nuts.
I'm just wondering what kind of raccoon research you did.
I didn't do any raccoon research. Although, you know what? The next table that I sit down at, that's what I'm going to say. I lived with the woodland creatures for a couple weeks, and I communed with them. No, they actually put that in there?
They said they brought the woman who brings the animals on the late night show.
Not me. They didn't bring a raccoon in.
Okay, for the animators. Okay, you're right. They probably did it for the animators.
Maybe it was.
But we'll act like they really did it, and you guys said right.
Yeah. And we said something witty.
I have a question for Wanda. What do you think makes? Why is anger and indignation so funny? Your character's so funny, and she's so angry.
I think anger and indignation is funny when there's a basis for it. You know, like if you're just being angry for no reason, then it's just not funny. But I think she came from a real place, you know. She's a skunk. I mean, you know, she kind of got a bad deal, you know. So I think that's why it works. Yeah, it works for Stella.
Not the most beloved of the woodland creatures.
Right.
The skunk.
Yeah.
But she could clear out her mind.
Oh, definitely.
Well, when you talk, I kind of want to link this to some of the films that Katzenberg has done. It seems that there's always a moral platform that he's trying to put forth in some of these movies. And for this one, I took away greed and avarice versus compassion and sharing. I mean, it's like right there, just polar opposites. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that's a good thing. I also think it's a very lofty goal in storytelling. Do you agree or disagree?
That's pretty deep. I see what you're saying, and I saw that in the film. I think it's all in the spirit of just trying to be entertaining. Though that's, and it's, I think you have to ground it somewhere, and the story is with the animals, and it uses the a word that I seldom get to say. I'm going to toss it out again. The foibles of suburban life, but they could have just as easily made the families, the human beings, not so stupid and not so idiotic, but they were the foil. They were the thing that we were making fun of, and they want to get you on the side of the animals. And it's a hard thing to do, to root for this little crew of animals, of woodland creatures. I mean, think about it. Come on, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, because if I have a lot of money and I see animals in my backyard tearing it up, I'm going for
them. Right.
Period. There is no compassion.
Yeah, I live up near Mulholland, and there's woodland creatures up there. And I got out of my car one time at night after a long day of work, and I opened the door and I turned around and there was a skunk right there. And I said, I am about to get skunked. And I just froze, and the skunk looked at me and just, you know, didn't spray me. But I swear to God, I thought I was about to get sprayed. And I've had dogs get skunked. You ever had a dog get skunked?
Uh-huh.
It is the most horrific smell. You can't, I mean, it's like all summer. That's what you're doing all summer. The dog's got to go be in the barn for the summer. Uh-huh. Not here in L.A., but this was up in Idaho. But and I don't like spiders either. Now, thank God there aren't any spiders in this film. Because I'm the guy that I, because until they find a way to identify the black widow spider and the brown recluse spider, the ones that kill you, the ones that can kill you, I kill all spiders.
Yeah.
And I'll go on record as saying that, and I'm sorry for the, you know, people that are out there defending the rights of spiders. Is it just me? I hate spiders. I don't like spiders.
Peter's going to be upset with you.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe there's spider rights.
Spider campaign.
Spider rights. They're going to throw a web on me or something. I don't know, but I just can't handle the idea. I'm the same way about alligators. That's why I won't go to Florida. You know, there aren't any alligators in the film.
Now, if you guys were rolling with an animal posse like this and you could add another animal to the equation for your safety, what would you have added?
Well, there's a bear in the movie. I've never been asked that one. Wanda?
I'm at a loss.
How's it going? Stumped.
We're trying to be philosophical here.
No.
Basically, the film is so good. I don't think it's that. That's probably why it's not a lot of questions. It was very entertaining. It was very. I looked at it as a film, a film about a family for families.
Yes.
Kind of worked. But was there a message though in the whole? I guess it was some dialogue you'd given earlier when you first arrived with. I guess the crew, when you were telling them about food, you kind of went through, you know,
the litany of
how did you say
here's a car, this is a food delivery system, and what was your question about?
I was asking, was there, and I guess you, I'm not really sure if you can answer this, I guess we'd have to ask the screenwriter, was there something in society about right now where, as a country, how a lot of us are overweight, how we just recklessly eat. I'm just digging.
I think it was just, again, to use suburbia and the suburban overdoing it lifestyle as satire, just to make fun of. I mean, you had to make fun of somebody. You had to have something to overcome. But more than anything I've ever done, it's just about trying to make people laugh. That was the goal. I'm sorry?
You're a singer, and you're...
Well... In the broadest sense of the term.
Yeah, and you do a lot of sort of vocal acrobatics in this, if you will. And you know, I've heard theater actors, they'll eat a jar of honey before they go on stage and stuff. Do you do anything particular to take care of your throat?
No. No, I wish I could give you a cooler answer than that. But no, I was just, you know, fooling around a lot of times. And a lot of it really was improvisation and going back in, and I would get an idea on the way home. I'd call him up and I'd say, next time we're in the room, I want to try this. And once I got the hook of, this was the schemer, this was the, you know, David Addison kind of shyster guy of the woodland creatures, that has a goal, that has something, an obstacle that he has to overcome, you can apply an acting point of view to it, but the goal ultimately is still to just try and make people laugh and do funny things.
I usually do like a couple of shots of tequila first. It's that nice rasp thing going on.
You mentioned you.
They're going to say everything. No, it's not.
Wanda, have you spoken to Larry David at all about returning to Curb? You're one of my favorite characters on the show.
Oh, thank you. I haven't spoken to Larry.
Is that kind of a last thing when you're going to be on?
You know
the
what? It always comes like out of nowhere. I'll get a call and so you're available next week. Yeah, sure. Okay. Then I'll show up.
We've got time for one more question.
I have a quick question, if you don't mind. It's a little off subject. There's an internet phenomenon growing with this movie called Snakes on a Plane with Sam Jackson. You guys heard of this film? Do you have any comments on it?
You're doing spiders on a plane, right?
Yeah.
You're doing spiders on a plane?
No, that's not going to happen.
Well, you heard of the film?
No.
I've heard of it, yeah.
Well, then I'll take the question back. Let's do something else.
Are you guys doing next question? We're launching a TV section. We're asking everyone their favorite TV moment in anything. Is there anything that comes to mind when I ask that? It could be news, historical, sports, TV shows, anything.
The Chuckles the Clown episode on Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh. Aww.
That's a good one.
Really quick question.
Wanda, anything?
Sorry, Wanda.
You can come back to
the,
it.
All in the Family, the Shoe Booty. When Archie was explaining to Mike about his nickname, Shoe Booty. He had one shoe and one boot, so they called him Shoe Booty.
Yeah. Could you speak to each other's cool factor? Both of you are so cool. Could you just kind of describe each other's cool factor, or if you observed it, anything particularly cool about each other? Because, Wanda, you can hang out with a room full of guys and just be so cool. And, Bruce, you've been with some of the coolest people in the world, and just it's like so, i.e., he is cool.
I think that if you try to be cool, you lose right away. you're not invited back. I just never even think about it. I'm always surprised when somebody says that I'm cool.
I don't think about it.
I never think about it. Okay. I have a satiric mind in my personal life. I can't believe some of the shit that I see on TV these days. And when they came out with the 500 channels, I predicted that they're going to have to fill all these up, and there's going to be some shows on there that are less than entertaining or less than has any kind of real value other than the sensational value. But you all know the kind of shows that I'm talking about.
Thank you, guys.
Do you want to do any more TV?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I still have fun working on the large format. But, I mean, it's all... I think we're going to see a big change in how it's already happening. You know, people can watch films on their computer. They can watch it on the big screen at home. They can go to the theaters. You can watch it in hotel rooms now. So I think it's all going to, over the next couple of years, change dramatically about how people see films. You're going to be able to watch films. They're going to be projected in a digital way. So it's all going to change.
The
Moonlight Return. That'll be the last thing you ever see me do, entertainment-wise. It'll be Hollywood Squares, the Moonlighting Reunion Show.
Thank you.
I'm kidding. Please don't write that.
It's on tape.
I know. It's a joke.
Thank you.
All right.
Good seeing you again.
Great
talk. That was fun.